Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor starts a two-part series titled, The Transferring of Spirits. This is part one titled, The Reality of Transfer of Spirits. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Throughout the Bible, it becomes evident that both good and bad, right and wrong, evil and righteousness can be transferred. It can be passed on. I mean, it can be passed on from person to person. It can be passed on from places to people and from things and circumstances can be transferred on to people. In this two-part series, I want to talk to you about the transfer of evil spirits, their reality in our everyday life, the impact that transfer has, and how you as a believer can overcome any and all transfers of spirits that are trying to jump on you and affect your life in a negative way. Always remember 1 John 4:4, and that is the greater one lives in you. But he's only as great as you let him be. There's a yielding, there's a knowledge that's needed to make the greater one more effective in your life. And I pray that over these next couple of series that we talk about, that we can increase and turn loose the greatness of our God that lives on the inside of you. The text I want to use is found in Exodus chapter 32. And reading, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, that they gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they said unto him, Up, make us gods. They said unto him, The people, the multitude that came out of Egypt, the mixed multitude, some of them were Israelis and some of them were Egyptians. They were mixed. They weren't a pure group. And they said to Aaron, in the absence of Moses, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in your ears, of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he, Aaron, received them at their hand. And Aaron fashioned it with his graving tool, after he, Aaron, had made a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. How quickly they forgot. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, and he said, Tomorrow's a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest, not the golden calf, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Amazing that in the absence of Moses, as he's in the mountain receiving instruction, anytime God takes you into a new venture, takes you into a new place to conquer new land, he always precedes that with giving you instruction on how to take that particular area. And as Moses is up there getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron is left down here, the number two man, the second man in charge, the appointed mouthpiece of Moses. I mean, this man was an eyewitness to the raw power of God. Think about what he saw. He saw the Red Sea open, and he saw the Red Sea close. He saw the Egyptians and the chariots and the horses floating on top of the sea. He was part of the great praise service with Miriam. He saw the manna fall and he tasted the manna. He ate the manna. He saw the quail fall and he ate the quail. He was there when Moses threw the branch in the bitter waters and turned it sweet. He saw, he sang, he signed up. He signed up for it all. He said to Moses, I'm in. I'm in for the vision of the promised land. I mean, there's no one that was highly more impacted with all this supernatural activity than Aaron. Think about that exposure. Think about standing in the shadow next to a Moses, watching him perform one exploit after another. Something went terribly wrong, because now he's the very man that's being used to gather earrings from the people to shape a golden calf. He's the very man that builds an altar, a place of worship, and he's the man who stands and makes a verbal proclamation. What happened was, when Moses had disappeared into the mountain to get the instruction, we have Aaron here, who's left alone with this mixed multitude comprising of Israel people and also Egyptians. And it says a mixed multitude came out. It wasn't a pure race that had come out. There was mixture. Anywhere where there's mixture, there's potential danger. And these people, they said to Aaron, make us. And in the exchange of their verbal, it just looked like an opinion. It just looked like someone taking charge. It just looked like someone with a strong personality. But hidden on the coattails of that personality, hidden within the framework of strong personality of the words of these people, was a spiritual transfer taking place. These spirits jumped off of the people onto Aaron and caused Aaron to do what he wouldn't normally do on his own, altered his thinking, affected his behavior, damaged his decisions, and caused a lot of heartache in so many people down the road. How could this happen to someone like Aaron? Someone so close to the holiness, someone so close to the power. This happened because of a spiritual transfer. That's how it happened. Well, what do you mean? Well, number one, Aaron didn't have his own flow. He was living off of the flow of Moses. You know, it's very important that as we sit under great ministries, as we go to great churches, as we have the awesome privilege of hearing so many great speakers, it's very important that we formulate our own conviction, that we take ownership of healing, ownership of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, ownership of the second coming, ownership of the power of the blood. It's very important that we no longer just live in the convictions of others, but we make sure that we have that a deep, rooted, and grounded, embedded belief in our own spirit. Everything that you know, you don't always necessarily believe. People know way more than they believe. You see, there's knowing, there's believing, and then there's really believing. And it's important that at some point that this natural progress of revelation, that it gets deeper and deeper inside of each of us as we learn these great truths of the Bible, how to live the Christian life, how to walk in faith, how to function in authority, how to use the power of the blood, the name of Jesus, I mean, on and on, how to really extract all of the health and wealth from the promises of God. There's 7,700 promises of God. There's 1,500 alone is about your healing and your health. How do we activate that? How do we get that off of pages into our heart and manifesting in our lives? Aaron didn't have his own flow. A lot of people don't. They live their life through their church. They live their life through their leader. And there's a time for that. You know, I mean, there's a time for adolescence. There's a time for training wheels on a two-wheel bicycle. There's time for apprenticeship. There's a time to, you know, but David said, I can't fight this giant in Saul's armor. He took Saul's armor off so he could fight the giant with his weapons. It is so important that, you know, Aaron, you know, understood. And he probably didn't. He was so caught up in having a great leader there. And sometimes that's what a great church does. It replaces you getting your own conviction. That's what a great leader does sometimes. It replaces you taking ownership of what do you believe. Remember whenever Jesus said to Peter, who am I to you? And Peter answered and said, some say you're the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah. And Jesus abruptly interrupted Peter. He said, Peter, that's great that they think that, but who am I to you? You see, God wants each of us to make sure that we believe what we know. And at some point, we go beyond believing it, and we really believe it. Paul calls it, I'm fully persuaded. You know, years ago, I had believed Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee since Sunday school, vacation Bible school. And I believed that. I knew it, and I believed it. But years ago, I was in the Holy Lands out on the Sea of Galilee, and the thought crossed my mind as I looked out over the boat onto the water. Wow, this is where he did it. That's real water. I mean, he really walked right here. And something crystallized. Something became surreal to me. And I went from knowing and believing to really believing. And it's whenever something becomes more real to you than it was previous. You know, you go from knowing to realizing. Something sinks from your head to your heart. That it takes on a deeper, rooted, and grounded impact on your life. Aaron didn't have that. A lot of Christians don't. They go, their joy, their peace, their love, their walk, all depends on their leaders, all depends on their church, all depends on the concerts, all depends on their Christian friends. And while there's a place for that, you must become stronger than the group. You must, you know, you must become and take out of the church and out of your pastor and out of all the teachers you love and make sure that you take ownership. It's not just you believe because they believe, you now believe it because it's the truth. And what happens is you become less likely to be deceived, to be buffooned, and hoodwinked by spiritual transfer. The second thing that Aaron didn't comprehend, he underestimated the power of the people around them and what they carried. People have passengers. There are people that carry spirits of lust, confusion, doubt, greed. There are people that carry spirits of sloppiness and slothfulness and sluggardness. There's people that don't care about how they look. There's people that don't care about personal hygiene. They don't care what they eat or don't eat. There's just people with poor habits. They're all around, and they love God. You know, and they love you, and you love them. But sometimes these people have not been completely set free in certain areas. And those spirits, you know, they want to jump from person to person. They want to see if they can jump over into your area, you know, and contaminate you, you know, and get you all into this and all into that. So it's very, very, very important that you understand that it's not just personality. It's not just some opinions of people. It's not just, well, that's the way that he is. Stuff is trying to jump on you. It's trying to jump on you, as I said, from person to person. Let me tell you about some other notable transfers in the scripture. You remember the spies that were sent in to spy out the land. You know, they were sent over there, Joshua and Caleb, and the 10 other spies went in to spy out the land. Well, 10 of them came back and said, no way. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. But the 10 said, no way. They are too big. We're grasshoppers. That spirit transferred onto a whole nation. Think about that. 10 people affected a whole nation, and that power of that transfer caused that nation to wander for 40 years, 40 Christmases, 40 birthdays. 40 is a whole generation, all because a transfer came off of the 10 who carried that strong unbelief and that strong doubt. It had the power to cancel out the two. Back to Aaron. That transfer, the golden calf, you know what happened there. Moses threw the tablets, and there was a war. He drew a line, swords were drawn, people were killed. Transfer. Transfer takes on a deadly, deadly turn if it's not recognized and destroyed, nipped in the bud of what the enemy's tactics are and his strategies are involving you. John the Baptist, here's another great tragedy. John the Baptist, the king's wife, didn't. She hated the Baptist. King wouldn't do nothing about it. So the daughter says, the wife says to the daughter, dance before your dad tonight. He's going to ask you at the end of your dance for anything that you want. When he asks you that, tell him that you want the head of the Baptist. And so the daughter does the dance. The king loves it. And the king says to the daughter, what can I give you, my precious one? She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. The mother had transferred a spirit of hatred into the daughter. And the daughter passed it over to the father. And the father, reluctantly so, ordered the head of John the Baptist. What a severe consequence. Aaron's consequence from transfer, severe. The 10 spies consequence, severe. All because of transfer. And here's a man now losing his head. All because, well, you think, yeah, but I mean, just because she said that, you mean she influenced him. Well, I'm saying that influence was the second or maybe the greatest power in the Garden of Eden. Adam had authority and Eve had influence. Which one of those won? Her influence overpowered his authority. Yeah, but that was a choice that Eve made. She didn't make it by herself, did she? She was under the influence of the talking snake. So she didn't make that choice by herself. That was just not something I choose. It was something where her will got under the influence of, and she made that wrong choice because of being under the influence. We know what under the influence of drugs does. We know what under the influence of alcohol does. We know what under the influence of pornography does. We know what under the influence of, you know, hard, savage music does. Well, when you get under the influence of these spirits that are jumping around out there in everyday life, the heartache can be unlimited. The damage can be relentlessly long and sad. The Baptist lost his head. The nation wandered for 40 years. And family members were brutally killed when Moses came down. All because of spiritual transfer. You got Delilah. Here's Delilah. You know, a spirit on Delilah of seduction. Transferring over onto Samson. Who causes him to sleep. Get his hair cut. Get his eyes put out. End up a slave to the Philistines. What a disgrace. Yeah, thank God the end, you know, he brought the house down. But what a sad, sad story. Somehow you can't believe that that was the destiny that God had for that great man who was separated from his mother's womb and took the vow of the Nazarite. And how about Job's wife? Here's Job fighting battles. You know, he's had his children that were killed and his money flow was interrupted and he's getting some health issues. And what happens? His wife rises up and says to Job, curse God for the day that you were born. Well, you know, Job's thinking, man, I'm trying to honor God. I've been given God's sacrifice, and I can't explain all of this. And then his wife stands up, transfers. You say, but that's just a strong-willed woman. Behind that strong will is an influence. The same way the snake influenced Eve. The same way those people influenced Aaron and the 10 spies influenced the nation and so on. There's this transfer, this passing on. It jumps on people. And Job's wife released those words. That spirit jumped on Job. And it got Job to what? Actually say, I curse the day that I was born. These spirits are meant, and what they do is they try and jump on you, not in you, but on you. When you're born again, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13. I mean, there's a bloodline around you and they cannot get in to your spirit, but they can jump on you, on your thinking. They can jump on your body. They can do damage for a season, short or long, depending on how aware you are of what's going on. But they're meant, the power of transfer is meant to interrupt your rhythm, to break any momentum that you may be building for your walk, to break focus, to get your mind off of God, off of the hunger for God, and to know more about the will of God for your life, and to get you doubting. you know, to get you looking inward, to get you looking back at the past, to get you questioning, you know, this and questioning that, and just wasting time. The enemy knows that if you put your mind to it and your heart to it, and you start getting the word in your spirit, and you start hanging around the right people and singing the right songs and getting, you're liable to become dangerous. You're liable to become a kingdom builder, a bridge builder, a life changer, a world changer. You're liable to have impact everywhere that you work, that you vacation, that you worship. Everywhere you go, your shadow will loom large with virtue and anointing. And that needs to be interrupted. And how he interrupts that is through spiritual transfer. You know, while they were waiting to fight the giants in the promised land, all right, while they were preparing for physical giants, giants they couldn't see jumped on them. You know, remember, while we're saying no to all of the things in life we're trying to avoid, sometimes our guard is way down for the spiritual transfers that we're being exposed to. So they want to exploit weakness. You know, if you're struggling with areas of food and your diet, then the enemy wants to send people into your life that have reckless eating habits, who don't care, you know, and they want to jump on from them onto you and exploit your weakness. If you're struggling in an area of lust, or, you know, you're dealing with that the best that you can, and the enemy don't want you to gain any ground, he sees you're trying to make strides. He can't tempt you like he used to, and so he sends people in that are out of control. And they come into your life and you like them. It's a fishing buddy, a golfing buddy, a shopping friend. And you like them. But people carry passengers. You don't have to be possessed to carry a passenger. There's Christians that are negative. There's Christians that are doubtful. There's Christians that are just always questioning something. There's Christians who start things but don't finish things. There's Christians that don't have any diligence, any hunger. There's so much in people, and all of a sudden, here you are loving somebody, and you should, liking to be with them, nothing wrong with that, but not aware. You think everybody born again, everybody that's saved, you know, they have all these issues, and nobody has, it's just their personality. I'm telling you, a million times I will tell you, it's not just their personality. People carry a spiritual force. And sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's not so good. And we have to be so aware that, you know, well, what happens when these spirits jump on you? They can stay for a long time, or they can stay for a short time. That depends on you. That depends how aware you pick up what's going on. Because I'm telling you right now, and besides that, it doesn't just happen from person to person. These spirits can jump on you because of you being in a certain place. You know, look at Lot and Lot's wife and his family. When they came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, she couldn't even leave the city. She turned around to, you know, and all of a sudden, what? Because that spirit was on her, and she couldn't leave it. It had her. Places. You know, later on, you know, we see that after she was turned into stone and he's up in the cave with his daughters want to have incest with their father. Why? Because that spirit of transfer was still on them from that corrupt place in which they lived. So places, you know, without getting into too descriptive here of what I'm talking about, there are just certain places where if you go, I mean, they're there. And you have, it's not that it means, doesn't mean you can't go there. It just means you got to be aware that have your armor on, you know, have your spiritual antennas up and just know what you're dealing with. Because we're supposed to be able to walk anywhere in the name of Jesus. We're not supposed to be fearful and afraid. You know, we know that they're out there, but we just don't want to be silly and naive thinking that they're not going to try and jump on us just because we're spirit-filled. They have broken and destroyed many a strong and great leaders throughout history. They're not afraid of trying to jump on you. They jump on you through movies, the internet, through music. They look at alcohol. Alcohol is even called spirits. Souvenirs from different countries, junkyards, used items of any kind that used to belong to people you don't even know who they were, and they can transfer into the clothes, into objects, things that you would buy on eBay and Craigslist. They lurk in hospitals and prisons and convalescent homes, on and on in poor areas. When you go into a very poor district of a city, you just feel something. What is that you feel? You feel the spiritual climate of that area. You feel poor, drugs, danger. You know, I mean, you go into some of these places, it's like you just feel it. What is that? It's a spiritual climate. What's the spiritual climate have? Spirits. It doesn't mean that you can't go there. Let me say that again. It just means that your awareness has got to arise to another level. You know, when you go out in the snow, you know to wear snow boots. When you go out in the rain, you know to take an umbrella or wear a raincoat. You know, when you're handling bushes around your house that have thorns on them, you wear gloves. You know, so the proper attire protects you from whatever environment you're in. That's why we are supposed to wear our armor. That's why we're supposed to be constantly talking about the blood, the word, you know, the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. These are all things, virtues that God has given us to protect us as we walk through life. And as these spirits jump from places and people at work, people in church, people at the spa. It starts out like, I like him. I like her. Isn't she nice? It all starts out that way. And all of a sudden, somewhere, if you're not careful, these spirits, they come through the eyes. They come through the mouth. Now, these eyes, these mouth, your TV screen, your computer screen, your front door, they're all portals. They're portals. They're entry places into you. Everything comes in your front door. You know, every piece of furniture, every food, all the magazines, you know, all the literature, all the newspapers. You know, years ago, there was a story about Smith Wigglesworth, who had a visit from, I believe it was Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall brought him coffee and a newspaper. He knocked on the door to give it to Wigglesworth. And Wigglesworth said, I'll take the coffee, but that you keep outside. He wouldn't let the newspaper come into his home. He had a sensitivity that he didn't want to pick up any bad news, any tragedy. You say, yeah, but that's being hypersensitive. It all depends what you want out of this walk with your God. It is unlimited. The ability for you to do, to be, to have influence in this lifetime is unlimited. It's more up to you than you are aware of. Your choices determine your destiny, not your chance. I don't have the right chance. It's your choices. Whenever you choose to draw nigh, whenever you choose to get your mind renewed, whenever you choose to go after all that God has, then God's able to do more with you. And I'm telling you, it just begins to go a whole lot more in your favor. These portals need to have a guard on them. What you take in with your eyes, Jesus said, you know, is light or dark. What you take in with your mouth, what comes through your TV screen. Years ago, a couple told me, they said, you know, we put our children to bed and then my husband and I, we like to watch scary movies. So we don't want the kids to see the scary movies. So we put them to bed and then we go downstairs and watch scary movies. I said, ma'am, I hate to disappoint you, but that TV is a portal. And even though they're up there sleeping, when that movie's on, those spirits are coming through your TV screen into your home, and they're walking up those steps, and they're getting on your children. Because that TV screen is a portal, as your PC screen is, as your cell phone, your iPhone is. Listen to me. These are all entry places where these spirits come knocking at your door. And that's why you have a peephole. It's because you don't have to open the door until you're strong enough to open the door. You know, whenever you're not strong enough to open the door to deal with whoever's out there, then you peep out and say, I'm not opening the door for that. But one day when you become stronger than what you are now, you know, whenever they went to Sodom and Gomorrah and the angels were at Lot's house, at the house there, you know, and he said, no, I can't. And the knock came at the door, you know, and he said, I cannot let these spirits in, they will defile you. And the angel said, go ahead, let them in. They said, no, I'll give my daughters. No, let them in. And the angels opened up the door. And there was bad spirits in those people outside. But see, they were strong enough to say, go ahead, open up the door. You know, until you're strong enough, you know, you want to be very careful who you're around. Know who's in your life. Know why they're in your life. Monitor their words, their thoughts. You know, because you don't want someone taking away all the progress that you're trying to build in your life as a believer. How can you protect yourself? I mean, everybody works in jobs. Everybody's out there in the workaday world. Everybody, you know, I mean, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, these spirits jumping from people and places and off of used items. But I mean, come on, how can you protect yourself? You wear yourself out. No, you won't. The greatest source of protection you can have is not what Aaron had, because he didn't have it. What? Get your own flow. Get your own flow. Make sure that you have a standard. Isn't that what Isaiah said? When the enemy comes in like a flood, raise up a standard. Make sure that you have developed a way of not just agreeing with your preacher, agreeing with the teaching you're hearing, but you have just said, you know what? I'm believing this for my life. I'm taking this inside and hiding it in my heart. I'm going to make this a foundational piece of structure. I'm going to get rooted and grounded. The winds may blow and I may bend, but I don't plan on breaking. I may not understand why, you know, I have to face, you know, a particular disease or a surgery or an issue. We're pressed down and broken and cast down, you know, but we're not destroyed because we know that all things are going to work together. But how do you function like that? You spend the time getting your own flow. You know, if you ever go to the top of Niagara Falls before it goes over the Great Horseshoe Falls, there's a river that flows. The current is so rapid and so strong. Anything you drop into that river above the falls does not have any chance of not going over the fall. Why? Because the flow is so great, so forceful is that flow. If you drop a boat in there, if you drop something that floats in there, and if you drop a person in there, for them not to go over the mighty Niagara Falls is almost nearly impossible because the force of that water. See, and God wants there to be a rivers flowing out of you. And whenever you have your own flow, what you believe about Jesus, what you believe about the blood, what you believe about, you know, being holy before God, consecrated, pressing in, becoming, you know, conformed to his image and to his will, getting your mind renewed about some of the social evils of our day. People say this about creation and about evolution. People say this about the sanctity of life. And people say this about this lifestyle and that lifestyle. You don't want to let your mind be shaped by the media. You don't want your mind to be shaped by your friends. But whenever that written word, that logos of God, gets inside your head and begins to just get into your brain, into your mind, and into your whole being, what happens is you begin to have your own standard. You begin to have your own flow. And this is the greatest protection you can have against transfer. Because these spirits do jump on the wrong people. You know, they jump on someone who's already settled the issue. And then what do they run into? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I plead the blood. The Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Joel 3:10, let the weak say I am strong. Sometimes these spirits can jump on the wrong person and they run right smack into a standard. They run into somebody who's rooted and grounded and they get beat up and they're the ones that get cast down and God gets great victory for you. But more importantly than that, you don't miss any momentum. You keep on going down the path as it gets brighter and brighter for you. Too many delays, too many detours, all caused because you picked up a transfer. You may have opened up the door to it, or it may have just jumped on you and has been chiseling away at you. Either way, it doesn't mean it's in you. It's trying to get in you. If you don't deal with it soon enough, it can get inside your thinking. It can penetrate inside of your body. And then you got a deeper situation where you need some form, some level of deliverance. But so very important that you see that the greatest protection is having your own flow. That's why, you know, that's why you read the Bible. That's why you go to church. That's why you memorize scripture. That's why you meditate on the written word. That's why you sing the songs that you sing, to bring you to conviction. There's a difference between believing something and believing it with strong conviction. And when you believe something with strong conviction, you are not easily moved away from what you deeply believe. Transfer can have no impact on you. So very important that you monitor your own life. Monitor. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, let the Holy Spirit monitor after you've been with people, after you've been with places, after you come back from vacation, you know, after you've been at Bible study, after you've come home from work, you know, just kind of check out your own self. Ask the Holy Spirit, you know, how come I'm thinking like this? Why do I feel like this? So many people tell me, I don't know why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I don't know where that thought came from. Well, where were you? Well, I was down there at the park with a bunch of guys from I used to go to high school with. More than likely, you picked up a transfer. Nah, I didn't pick up no transfer. See, if you continue to deny that, and you continue to take for granted that people you're around, places that you go, these things, they want to jump on you. You know, they're not trying to take you to hell. They know they can't do that. You're way past going to hell. You got a ticket to ride. But they just want to be that stone in your shoe. They want to be that thorn on your side. They want to be that splinter in your finger. They just want to disrupt, you know, and create havoc. You don't got time for that. You know, you got a plan that God has for you to fulfill, a purpose, a destiny. And we've all got to get more discerning that we're picking stuff up and it's affecting us. And listen to me, it doesn't have to be for days, weeks, months, and years. You can begin to recognize something on you is not right and just begin to say, you know what, in the name of Jesus, you know, and deal with it. Sometimes you deal with it right on the spot. Sometimes right on the spot, like whenever, you know, the devil moved through Peter to Jesus and he said, don't go to Jerusalem. He didn't cuss or swear or do anything obvious. He just gave an opinion. Don't go to Jerusalem. And what did Jesus? He didn't wait till later. He dealt with it on the spot. He said, Satan, you're an offense to me. He didn't say Peter. He said, Satan. He recognized that Peter had some kind of a transfer functioning. Peter wasn't possessed or oppressed. Peter had picked up some kind of a transfer that was transferring through Peter, trying to get on Jesus. He was trying to make that jump. And Jesus was saying, you're not jumping on me. Uh-uh. I'm from my Father. I know my Father's plan. I'm focused. I'm single-minded. There's nowhere for you to jump on me. And when the enemy tried to make that jump from Peter to him, he found out that he fell flat on his face. Why? Because Jesus dealt with it on the spot. And sometimes you will. Sometimes you'll just in front of people there in a nice way, in a loving way. You know, I don't believe in that. We believe that God's going to heal them. I know it looks bad, but all our prodigals are coming home. I know, we're trusting him. Sometimes you have to just, you know, in the face of negativity, in the face of doubt and unbelief, right there on the spot, deal with it. Let those transfers know, you're not jumping in my thinking. My mind's made up. God's going to save my family. My mind's made up. My husband's getting healed. My mind's made up. We're going to the wealthy place. You know, and whenever those spirits try and jump onto you, when your mind is renewed and made up, believe me, they have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. They run into a wall of fire. They run to a Holy Ghost force field. Why? Because your mind has been made up. You have a flow coming out of you. That's your best protection against transfer. Remember what Jesus told his disciples. He said, you know, when you go into a city and you preach the message of the cross, you preach the message of this good news, and they don't receive you, and they're just kind of, you know, they're just really into not believing and not receiving. He said they're into doubt and they're into, you know, they want to stay with the old covenant and so forth. He said, when you leave that city, listen to me very carefully, shake the dust off your feet. What was he saying? He was saying, don't let that spirit of rejection, don't let that spirit of unbelief and doubt go with you. Shake it off. He told them in so many words, these transfers, yeah, they're strong, and yeah, they can do a lot of untold damage, as we've mentioned here in this particular teaching. But really, when it comes right down to it, the greater one that lives in you, you have the power of just shaking them off like you do the dust off your feet. Or the way Paul shook that snake off over in Acts chapter 28 and verse 5. You have that power, but you got to get sharp and get more sensitized into recognizing what's going on the inside of you. When did that start? Where were you when that you began to think like that? What did you pick up? Because if you work in the workaday world, they're out there. If you go on vacation, they're there. If they're in all the literature. And so many times while we're, you know, we think they only come from people like Charles Manson or Adolf Hitler. You know, we think that's, well, those people, they carry passengers. Nice people carry passengers. Nice people. And sometimes the nicer somebody is, or if they're a Christian or they're a friend or even a relative, you know, they carry a spirit and we let our guard down. Whenever Jesus came to the wedding feast, you know, Mary was saying, you know, they need wine. They're out of, you know, and Jesus was saying, woman, what have I to do with you? You know, he was very careful. He was saying this manipulation. There's a lot of witchcraft out there. Simon the sorcerer had a whole region, you know, he had transferred witchcraft over into the, I mean, he had controlled this whole region just through transfer. People were bewitched, and Paul told the Galatians, how easily you are bewitched. Ladies and gentlemen, I really believe this series can really, really help you, but it can only help you if you let the greater one in you transfer greatness to you. I mean, there's got to be a close walk with the Holy Spirit. There's got to be an intuitive connection between you and the written word of God. And you've got to walk circumspectly. That's what Paul told the Ephesians. Don't be foolish. Walk circumspectly. Meaning what? Know what's going on around you. What's coming out of that song unto you? As you hum the lyrics of that song, you know, is that what you really want going through you? You know, as you watch that movie, is that really what you want? You think it's just a harmless plot? The enemy is out for your destruction. He's out for your mental creativity. He wants to shorten your years and steal your testimony. If he can't get you to do it voluntarily, then he's going to sneak up on you like the snake did in the garden to Eve. And she was perfect. And he influenced her will and transferred over onto her. And she bit and handed to him. And the human race fell. From Adam and Eve to Aaron to the 10 spies in a nation of Israel to Samson to Job's wife, to John the Baptist losing his head. It's amazing when you begin to look, a lot of this and a lot of this horrible, horrible outcome came because spirits jumped around and they weren't recognized. And so much damage and heartache. I pray that as we share this series, that you are acutely aware that you have the power to discern. Philippians 1:9 says, Paul prayed to the church at Philippi. He said, I want your love to grow in two areas, in love and judgment. And that word judgment means discernment. That's what it means to discern. It means to judge. And God wants you and I tell people all the time, the greatest weapon in these end times that you may possibly ever have is a discerning heart. As you are aware that what people are saying, that's a spirit trying to jump on you and mess with what you believe or what you're expecting. Someone trying to change something you've believed all your life about the Lord, about healing, about the second coming, about deliverance, about the anointing, about the favor, about prosperity teaching. So many people all of a sudden have had their mind changed. So many, why? Because they're what? Because they've been hijacked and they don't even know that. You know, you want to put your eyes on that written word. What did David say? His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. People, these transfers are real. They have high impact, and they can really eat out years of your life and create untold damage. But my prayer for you as you're listening to this part one and part two of the transfers of spirits is that your love grows in knowledge and in discernment. And when you discern that something's trying to jump on you from somebody else, you become aware of it. And either you deal with it on the spot, or maybe later when you go home, you know, you say to the devil, I don't buy into that. You say to that spirit, you're not getting in my thinking. Here's what I believe. And you shake that off of your mind the same way Jesus told his disciples to shake the dust. Shake that transfer of rejection off of you and go on down the road. Don't let it get on you and keep following you to place after place after place. There's no room in you for that bad stuff. You were wired to win. You were made to be thrilled, healed, and filled with the flow of God. I pray right now in Jesus' name, I break the power of transfer on everyone listening to this CD, off your mind, off your body, off your organs, off of every part of your being, and off your money too. And I pray for the will of God, the written word, the revealed will of God to be made manifest. And I pray for a higher level of sensitivity to walk circumspectly, to know who's around us, who's in our life, to pay attention to the words and the habits and the music, all that we take in into these portals. God, that we want to take in the glory and the honor and the power, that we would be better service to you, that we would love you and serve you all the days of our life. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.